family. Ask you for your grace and your presence in this critical moment, in this critical time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you are aware that Mike Ballantyne has run himself into a particularly difficult time of his life. Hit a new low in a number of arenas in his life, and he's sort of made that public, and it's not something I typically would talk about, except that he's been pretty public himself. And he is in the place of getting some level of help at this point, and help of all sorts is available to him. But I wanted us to pray for him together as a body, because he is in probably one of the lowest places that I've known him to be. Father, I just thank you that you love Michael. I thank you that you have so set your affection upon him that you have given him many, many chances and drawn him to yourself, and even today you continue to. I pray that you would, even at this moment, reach to where he is. Reach to him and draw him to yourself. Reach to him and let him know your affections for him. We just declare and decree over him your grace and your continued pursuit. And we bless Michael. Lord, we thank you that you know what is absolutely best for him, and that you know how to direct things perfectly for him. And we pray that you would continue to do just exactly that, that you would direct your perfect grace into his direction. We ask you for a shift in his life from slave to son. We pray. From slave to son. We pray that you would deliver him, that you would save him, and that you would make him into that incredibly beautiful thing that you have desired for him to be. Heal him, we pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, we release to him grace and forgiveness for things that he has said and done. We just forgive him. We bless him. And for those that have helped him in his self-victimization, Lord, we release grace and forgiveness towards them as well. And we cut off the lies of victimization, and we release to him even the ability to access and utilize his own free will that you have guaranteed for him. We bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you are connected also to Heidi and Roland Baker. And yesterday, Betsy was telling me the beginnings of some. It was the first I'd heard. But in their county in Mozambique that they're in, there's been an incursion of religiously fueled violence, including just every horrible thing that you can imagine. People being hacked to death and other people's homes being burned and rape and everything. Just the enemy's desires. And Elizabeth was telling me that the U.S. has encouraged U.S. citizens to leave the area if at all possible, and if not, then at least, like, don't go to a market, for example, which that's what they do. Okay, that's what they do. And I don't know if you guys remember, like, when Elizabeth was there, but they have these schools, and they bring hundreds of international students into their region, and then they go out from there. But I guess they've made the decision to move the entire school to South Africa for the time being, because of the significant and personal danger that is going there. So I just thought maybe we could all agree in prayer with respect to that entire situation as well. Father, we thank you that you have even given us the ability to be with and to connect with and to pray alongside of these precious ones on the other side of the globe. And we release to them grace. Lord, grace, grace, grace. Grace for decision making. Grace for movement. Grace for what to leave behind and what to bring. And grace for the whole thing. We just release your grace to Heidi and Roland and that the whole operation over there. We just declare blessing even in this time in Jesus' name. Lord, we bless South Africa. We release your blessing even as this persecution has caused movement. We declare blessing in the movement in Jesus' name. We declare it and we decree it. We cause it to come forth. We even release your angels to just make the whole thing an operation of kingdom blessing in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, we just put a guard over the Iris Ministries and its connections in this whole region. We just put a guard over them for life, for salvation, but for the furtherance of your kingdom in a powerful way in the name of Jesus. But we also ask that you would heal the land of Mozambique. We know that it's your purpose and your desire to do just that. So we bless the nation of Mozambique, and we pray that you would cause repentance to fall even among Muslims in that arena. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Andrea asks whether there's the potential for need for financial aid. I don't know if you read anything. Elizabeth, did you see anything? In the things that I've read, they aren't requesting that. At the same time, I would have to say you must be right. I can't imagine that there's not a need there. If you'd like to give toward that, I'd encourage you to give directly to Iris Ministries. I'm pretty sure it's irisministries.org. I could be wrong, but is that correct, Elizabeth? Not positive. You'll recognize Heidi and Roland if you get the right site, okay? So check it out. And but I like your heart in that, and it's the right thing, the right heart in that process. This Tuesday, discipleship group number one will be meeting at 5:30 p.m. So I want to encourage those of you that are connected with that to show up on Tuesday, 5:30. I know some of you aren't able to make it at 5:30 exactly, and that's fine. We'll just, when you get here, it'll be good. I also received, I don't want to go into the details, but I received some prophetic over our president and our government. And that's another area where I'd like just to encourage us to pray together. And I'd like to say some words, but I wondered if you would like to lead us, Suzanne, in just a prayer of blessing over the government of our nation.
Yes. Lord, we thank you that you have placed in position someone chosen by you, we believe. And we pray a blessing over what's going on in Washington, D.C., that you are exposing what needs to be exposed to bring healing to our nation. We thank you for your blessing over our president, vice president, Congress, Supreme Court, all of the executive branch, all of it, Lord, that your hand would be upon our nation for good and not for evil. Father, we pray that you would open the blind eyes and open the deaf ears to truth. You are the person of truth, Jesus. That they would receive truth and their hearts would be turned in this nation towards truth. We thank you for the great harvest that's going to come in, the great revival, and we are crying out for it, Lord, to see our nation transformed. We thank you that You put some headship, and even though not perfect, none of us are perfect, Lord, and we thank you, as it says in Timothy, that we should pray for those over us in positions, kings and others, Lord. And we pray today for our president and vice president and for the government. But we are also crying out for the government of God to come into position in the hearts of men and women across this nation, in the governors, in the leaders, in the mayors, Lord, that their hearts would want the government of God and the purity and the holiness that you want to see in our nation. We pray for this upcoming meeting over in Singapore with a nation that's never ended up having a desire for the types of things that government of God offers. But we learned recently, and I don't know how many know this, that the great-great-grandfather of Kim Jong, you know who his name is, basically had given his heart to the Lord. He literally gave his heart to the Lord. It had to do with the Azusa revival. So in the lineage of that man and in the lineage of Donald Trump, there are people in the cloud right now that have prayed for their lineage. And we connect with all of that today. And we thank you, God, for a mighty move on the 40th anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down and the 40 years that they've been praying in South Korea and Prayer Mountain in Yongi Cho's mountain, where they have cried out for peace, for transformation for that nation. And we cry out today with them to see your revolution happened, Father. It's a revolution of love. And I noticed right on your altar today, it says love. So, Father, we thank you for a love revolution across our nation, but also extending out to the nations. Just like Israel would always pray for the nations, God, we pray for the nations, for transformation. We pray for England. We pray for all the different nations that we see horrible things happening, God, but that be a breaking of the darkness and let the light shine. Light takes over darkness. Darkness does not take over light. So let your light shine, Father, into the hearts of men and women and bring the harvest, Father. Bring the revival. We cry out for the laborers today, God, to see your plans, your purposes, your strategies, and your government of God come into the hearts of men and women. We thank you, Lord, and bless our nation today. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen.
And Lord, I just thank you that you are, in fact, dismantling lying structures within our government and within our systems. And Lord, we agree with that, and we just continue to decree a release of your kingdom and a destruction of the structures of darkness in Jesus' name. We are delighted in what you're doing. We also bless what has begun. We see it, we receive it, we agree with the fingerprints that you have left on it, and we say generations. We declare generations over that which has begun. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Jim and Paula have brought in a bunch of furniture, and there's some good pieces upstairs, and there's some more downstairs. We're trying to clean house, and so if you're interested in some furniture, check it out, get it out, because they're going to clean house this coming week, and it'll be gone. So check it out, take what you want.
Nick, I wondered if you could come up to here. Nick is a friend of mine. In fact, this is Sweetie.
Hi, handsome.
This is my Sweetie right over here. So Sweetie Pie. Sweetie Pie. Yeah, he wants me to be careful and clear. Come over center, buddy. It's Nick's birthday. How old are you going to be, Nick, this Tuesday?
I don't know.
Some age. Who knows? Some age. 30-ish, really? Is it 30?
Yeah.
30. He's going to turn 30. I just wondered if we could bless him together. If anyone has a sense of something for him, feel free. But I'm going to start with a blessing. and then give you your chance, and then I'm going to take my chance. All right, so. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Nick, and I thank you for the man that you have made him and that you have called him to be. Thank you, Lord, that you graced this planet with something unique and perfectly positioned. And you named him Nick, Nicholas. And I just bless him. I bless him in this celebration of 30 years of your gift of him to the globe. And we're grateful to you for this man of God. In Jesus' name.
Like Jesus, his ministry started when he was 30. There are things starting for you this year that have been in embryo form, formative for the rest of your life. But now they're going to be, this year, they're going to be birthed, new things. And it's going to be a release of life through you like you haven't seen.
Praise God. That's a good word. That's a good word.
I had that same sense about the 30-year thing. But the Lord wants you to know that he started this well before you were even born. The song that we sang earlier that said, before I breathed, you breathed your life into me. God breathed into you that which he wants you to be about. And so that is where it started. You were started as spirit before you were even started as a human. And so God has been preparing you for this time. So don't think that this is a difficult time in your life. This is a good time. This is a time for you to start into the things that God has predestined you to be about. And so I bless you right now on your 30th birthday, and I say, go forward, man of God.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Lord, we are grateful for Nick, and we recognize the blessing that he is to each and every one of us, to the body here. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to have him here with us. We thank you for the opportunities that he provides for you to share, for you to be known to the world around him. Lord, we pray your blessing on him, on his 30th birthday and on the years to come, that the blessing that he is to others, that you will reward him for that. We are grateful for his heart, his kindness.
Right there, yeah.
And we pray your blessing back for what he pours out in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Happy birthday. I've said this to you before, you know, it's our grandsons and Nicholas as well, and it means victory for the people. There's a leadership call in your heart, but it's servant leadership. So it's not like, oh, I got to attain to this. It's exactly like Keith said. It's already in you. God's just going to begin to pull it out. And I'm hearing, don't despise the day of small beginnings. He's going to start giving you assignments. He already has, but it's going to multiply this year. And George said it. I think this is a good year. Things, good things are coming. And the scripture I heard was, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So we're just confirming that word to you. And just your red shirt just reminds me that you are covered with the blood. Any past, anything is completely covered. This is new, fresh, go for it time. So I just bless you.
Amen.
Hi, Nick. I heard new. And what I saw was like a ratty looking piece of garden. And it was like you'd been for years trying to make something grow. And then it was like that this year, things were starting to grow, and that I just felt like the over is that like things that you've been pouring, investing your life into, and just haven't seen any fruit, but this was a year of fruitfulness for you.
Amen. Amen. Good words.
I don't know you, Nick, but I saw a mouth of a dragon open, and you're going to be a dragon slayer.
We'll take that, hey, Nick? We'll own that. I saw, Nick, for you, two things, and they're correlated. One is you're not done being built, okay? Jesus is building you. And so I don't want you to, you're 30. That means you're young, okay? That means that there's transformation and shift and new things to learn even. Even new skills, okay? And something I heard was, you know, Bob the Builder? I heard Nick the Builder, okay? Because you are going to be a builder. You're going to be a builder, but you're going to be built today and these days into a builder. And God is creating through you, and you will have a creative work, You will build. So you're Nick the Builder, all right? Good deal? I bless you. Happy birthday, my brother. Grace to you. Again, I'd like to encourage you to go back through this morning's first message from God. All right? Would you do that? I just feel like there's several of us that need that. All right. Today I'm going to bounce off from some things I've taught before, and I want us to kind of get quickly through. You guys remember this sheet? Who doesn't remember this sheet? You can come and get one from me. Judgment occurs. Eternal judgment occurs in two phases. The first phase is whether we're in the Lamb's Book of Life or not, and the second phase is based on our deeds. In the second phase of judgment, if you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, only the things that you've done that are consistent with the words of God, that His purposes in you, those are the things that count. Those are gold and silver and precious stones. Everything else is under the blood or just goes poof into nothingness. The reality is that it's a grand judgment. If, on the other hand, you're not in the Lamb's Book of Life, only the things that you failed to do count. And so then those, unfortunately, are just a question of what kind of judgment and the levels of difficulty of judgment. So that's just a very quick review. If you need to review that, I can probably find you the date I taught it and get you some documentation if you're interested. But today I want to work on the basis of that and then go forward with respect to judgment, because there's some very interesting facets and some needful understandings about the whole question and the whole situation. So we're going to start, and we're going to work kind of quickly because I've got a lot of notes here, and I don't want Dad to sleep too long, okay? Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Let me just say to you something. There's one way in, it's Jesus. And the way you demonstrate your walking with Jesus is, do you do the will of your Father who is in heaven? Jesus at one time, John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, they asked him, what shall we do that we may do the works of God? And he said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So the first work that has to happen for there to be anything at all, okay, there is nothing of any value eternally until and unless this happens. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Later in John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it's day. Night is coming when no man can work. There comes a time when you no longer actually have access to do works. And so we do the works while we have the light to do the works. And these are essential. And honestly, I'll say to you that when it comes right down to it, the works are works of faith. They come out of believing in him. And everything is sourced out of there. And thus, the judgment of the book, the judgments of the Lamb's Book of Life, has to do with believing and knowing and walking with the Lord Jesus. All right, very good. Given that, I want to talk to you very quickly about two facets of judgment that are essential for us to continuously remember. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15 says this: if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's an essential facet of being on the right side of judgment. Does anybody know that? It's essential. But if you do not forgive others, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your transgressions. Let me just say this to you. If you believe him, if you know him even to this degree, this much, then you know he forgives you. And if you believe him, and if you know him to this degree, then you know you must forgive others. That's just the facts. I really love one of my favorite brothers, and I've told you this many times, I think. One of my favorite brothers is that thief on the cross. Do you remember him? He had an incredibly short Christian walk. You know? In fact, he took no steps during his Christian walk, okay? His feet were probably nailed below him, okay? But there was something that he understood somehow. Because he, first of all, said to the guy that was mocking him on the other side, he said, you know what, we should probably not mock this guy. He didn't do anything wrong, and we did, right? But then he also said to Jesus, will you remember me in your kingdom? Which is an obnoxious thing to say to some guy that's sitting on a cross about to pass away. There was faith in the midst of that man's heart. He saw and knew something about the guy that was dying right next to him. And in that, faith came forth. He believed in the one that was there. And he somehow knew that despite the fact that he had just confessed that he was worthy of death, that there was life after that death. And that through Jesus, and through his knowledge of Jesus, there was a possibility of something good. Despite the fact that within a very short amount of time, he was about to die. Right? Okay, so, you know. You know, the truth is, it was probably both, okay?
But he didn't doubt it.
I don't think he did. I think he knew something. I think he knew something. It's clear. I mean, it's impossible for him to have asked the question without having some. It's an obnoxious question. It's an unreasonable question for him to ask. It was a faith-filled question. And it demonstrates an understanding of the eternal. It demonstrates an understanding of forgiveness, okay? How did this guy get from there? Thank you, God, for your amazing saving grace. Am I wrong? Come on, it's just amazing what one little tiny bit of grace can do.
You mean he didn't have to say the prayer?
He didn't have to say the prayer, that's the truth. He didn't have to say the prayer, but he may not have. I mean, I think he was labeled as King of the Jews above, but that, I mean, I don't exactly know what was. Go ahead, your question.
It's more of a statement. Ours is a God. He is a God of many, many chances.
He's amazing, isn't he?
And for people who think they have no time left,
yeah.
Guess what? It's there.
He can use, that's all right, we're okay. He can use such a small amount of time to accomplish an eternal work of enormous magnitude, and that's the truth. You know, I'm going to tell you, Dad, you had a comment.
This statement is Luke 23:42, and he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. It's not a question.
Oh,
it's
isn't.
A command. Well, and probably overstating command, but it's definitely, it's a statement.
A statement, a request, yeah.
Yeah, if you make it, remember me? No, it's
no.
When you do, yeah. Remember me.
Wow, what a great thing. Thank you. Thank you very much. Realistically, well, I was going to tell you, I know that the Lord has shown me that it doesn't take an appreciable amount of time as we would measure it for him to accomplish salvation. I've seen it. I don't want to go into the details because they're kind of private. for somebody, not me even, but it's such a beautiful thing to recognize that in a nothingth of a moment, God can accomplish an eternal work in a person. And our dear brother, unnamed and only positioned well, our dear brother of faith, the man on the cross beside Jesus, demonstrates the principle. He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I'm going to just tell you something. That man on the cross didn't do much movement. His lips moved. His vocal cords did something. His heart moved. That's what happened, for real. That his heart moved to a place of faith. He did the will of his Father who was in heaven. I love the grace of our God. Let me just say, it's vitally important for us to know what God's up to walk with him, and it's vitally important for us to forgive. Forgiveness is essential. Let me talk to you a little bit about forgiveness, because I feel like it is such an essential thing that we need to clearly understand it. Before I do that, I want to remind you of Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Peter asks the Lord Jesus, how many times shall my brother sin and I forgive him? And seven times, you know, is that good? And Jesus says, no, I don't tell you to do it up to seven times, but 70 times seven. And then he goes ahead and gives a parable in which he says, there's this one slave that gets forgiven by his master. Sounds like a good spot, right? Because he owed a whole ton. But then he goes and he beats on somebody else that owes him a little bit and throws that one into prison so that he can, quote unquote, pay back. And the master in the story finds out, and all of that nice forgiveness got ripped right out of him. And he was in. It says, then summoning him, the Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. I wonder, you know, what kind of pay you get for being at the torturers, you know, trying to say so that you're going to end up being able to repay your debt. I just wonder. Anybody have a good idea? What's the hourly wage? You get minimum? You get minimum wage while you're being tortured? I'm guessing maybe not. Jesus goes on to say these words, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. It's an essential thing for us to stay in a place of forgiveness.
I'd like to just comment one thing on the torturers. We chuckle, but I want to declare to you today that it is an exceedingly frightening place to be exposed to the torturers. I believe it's demonic spiritual realities coming against you. It's not just ho-hum. And I believe also that it's the mercy of God and the grace of God that keeps them off your back the rest of the time. But if you decide that you're going to live in a place of unforgiveness, you're leaving the door open, and the enemy will make use of that door to access you and bring destruction to your life.
If you find yourself, therefore, in a place where you discover that somehow the enemy's accessing you, here's one of the good places for you to really examine your heart carefully. Have you been in a place of unforgiveness? Are you currently operating in a place where you haven't forgiven people? Let me talk to you a little bit about the dynamics of forgiveness. Let me hold on that. I keep getting ahead of myself. I'm going to go to that in a moment, okay? Let's continue on the process here. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 15 talks about judgment, and I want to talk to you about the interactions between judgment and forgiveness, because they're essential for us to understand properly because they not only deal with the torturers in time, but they deal with eternal judgment as well. These interactions are important for us to understand. Matthew chapter 7, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." Verse 2, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly enough to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Fast forwarding to verse 12, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Let me say to you that the arenas of forgiveness and judgment are part of what it is that narrows the gate. Okay? Now, there's a number of dynamics that narrow the gate, but let me say that these are very essential dynamics. Back to verse 1, "Do not judge that you will not be judged." What is Jesus saying? It's pretty simple. Go ahead. Don't judge. Okay? I mean, it's really, really pretty straightforward. Okay, great. Next half verse. "For in the way you judge, you will be judged." Literally, this is like, you know, because in the reasoning for the judgment that you're judging, you will be judged. Okay, so I mean, he uses the same root word three times, really. Okay, and the word "way" there is a judgment sense. And the next one says, "by your standard of measure." Actually, it's "by the measure with which you measure, it will be measured to you," kind of feel. Okay, that's again, it's the three same root words in the Greek. So what's he saying? There's a word there that describes the reason for, or the why you're judging. Okay, and so in other words, if there's a rationale by which you are judging something, then that rationale will be the judgment that you get to have. Kind of a scary thought. And then he goes on, "and by the measure that you measure out with, it'll be measured to you." And so in other words, and in one case, you're being judged, and in the other case, it is being measured. What's the it? Anybody know? The stuff. What did you judge? How did you judge? And by what measure did you measure what? Go ahead. The reality is, I'll confess to you, there was a situation in which it was clear to me that I hadn't forgiven somebody from a long time ago. Because, well, it wasn't even that. Let me say, sometimes speaking clearly is useful. Somebody had offended me repeatedly. And I had repeatedly forgiven the person. Let's just make a parable real quick, okay? If it's all right with you, so that I can just not talk about a certain situation. But let me make a parable. Somebody lied to me repeatedly, okay? And the person that lied to me repeatedly, I forgave for the lying. And I want to point out to you that for me, let's just pretend that it's my brother Keith here. Okay, Keith? No, you don't want to do that? So if Keith lies to me, do you know that before I can forgive him, I actually have to judge that he lied to me? Do you see that? Okay. There's a judgment involved in order for me to even get to the place where I can forgive him. If he kicks me in the shin, there's a piece of judgment that goes on that says, that something happened. What he did was wrong. That incoming thing was wrong, and it hit me, or the lie hit me, and I in order for me to be in a position to be able to forgive Keith, I have to judge that as wrong, right? Otherwise, there's nothing to forgive, right? I mean, if Keith waves at me, I don't forgive him, right? Do you see what I mean? So if, on the other hand, he waves at me with just one finger, then I might forgive him. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I mean, that's the sort of reality. There's a judgment that entails. Now, that's a legit judgment for me to participate in. And in fact, it's something I have to do in some ways, okay? In order for me to release those that come against me and offend me, I have to judge that incoming thing very carefully, and very rapidly, okay? Because it's essential. It's essential for me to rapidly get myself free from decontaminate myself from that judgment. Okay, so now I'm not saying that I shouldn't judge it, because I need to. But I have to quickly decontaminate myself. As soon as the incoming hurt comes in, I have to quickly forgive that thing. Does that make sense? I do have to judge it. I don't know how else to do it. It hurt me. It offended me. It came in and violated me. I see the impact. I've already really made the judgment. I have to forgive now. Right now. I have to decontaminate myself in my soul. My soul would be contaminated if I left that in there. Does that make sense? It's two parts. Go ahead.
Wounds your soul. When you release and forgive, that's part of it. Then you have to ask for forgiveness yourself for being offended by the act. And that's a lot of times what we don't do, because that stays in your soul.
Yeah. Well, there's several pieces to this that are, it's very, very dangerous. And sometimes you can be offended. It is a tricky area, okay? It's a tricky area. And if he kicked me in the shin, or if he lied to me and so I invested and I lost the money, or he kicked me in the shin and I got a bruise, okay? All of that sits there, and what am I going to do with that? It's a reality. I am injured, right? I got injured. And so there's a place of forgiving for the impact, and you're talking to me about a place of repenting for my offense. And that's I feel like maybe that's a second step. And it's a step if I'm offended, which I may or may not be, okay? I may or may not really be offended. And I feel like there's another facet to it. And so you tossed me a little bit of a curveball, and so I'm gonna work with it, and you help me with it, okay? Because I have some place to go to, but go ahead.
Is Jesus teaching me the difference between judgment and discernment?
Well, that can be, and there's a level of discernment that we have to walk in. There's no doubt about that. Here's I know that this is something the Lord taught me just recently, okay? And this is, to me, one of the places where I go from being able to simply forgive and needing to repent for judgment, okay? So this is at least one of the balancers over which I go from one to the other, okay? And that is, if I say, well, you lied to me, and I forgave you, and you lied to me those other 490 times, let's just say, and I forgave you. Those were incoming events. and I forgave them. And, you know, even the $1,000 that I invested in your suggestion and I lost, and maybe the bruising that I took. Okay, all of that, I forgive it all, okay? But there's a piece that if I say, okay, now, you are a liar. Now, I have just suddenly moved in my heart from a place where I can forgive incoming events, incoming injuries, to a place where I have become a judge of a person. Okay? And that's a dangerous place. That's a very dangerous place because I'm not in that place to be on the basis of incoming events to make a judgment. Now, what I'd like you to do is help me. Is there a connect between what you said and what I said? Or are they just two separate pictures?
No, I think we're just describing.
Saying it two different ways. Okay, so that is a huge, to me, that's a huge distinction that needs to be made. Okay, again, the distinction is this. If I forgive my brother, let's just say for stealing from me, 490 times today, I forgave him all 490 times today. Doing great, okay? Hallelujah. That's good. And then, if I say, well, that makes him a thief, no longer am I even in a place where I can say, oh, I forgive you for being a thief. Because that's me putting myself in judgment over a person, not over an incoming event. Do you see? Something that hit me or impacted me. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I have authority in me. You know that? I do. I've been given authority over my soul, over my mind, over my person to a certain degree. And there's a place of judgment that comes with authority. And you have to operate in that judgment. Okay? If I've been injured, that's something that actually you can't tell. You can't tell how, you know, your sin against me injured me or not. Often you can't tell that. So there's a judgment that comes for me. But instantly, that incoming thing, I have to decontaminate myself. And the way I decontaminate myself is by forgiving. And if I don't decontaminate myself, I'm on the edge of judgment. And if I judge you to be, what was the most recent one? I forgot whatever it was. Thief. If I judge you to be a thief, then suddenly I've kicked God off the throne. If I judge on the basis of your behavior toward me, that you're a thief, I've kicked God off the throne and put you to hell. And in that situation, I have absolved myself from the forgiveness of God.
Now, what I would do, what I would be doing in that situation is this. Mm-hmm. I would forgive you, but then I would stand in the gap and I would bind the spirit of the thief
mm-hmm.
that has been agreed to, okay, in
yeah.
that situation for
sure.
you.
Yeah.
Or if I went over the line, I would repent and bind that thief spirit that I agreed with, okay,
yeah.
that was happening to
yeah.
me, but whatever. But I'd be binding that spirit.
Yes. So there's a spiritual dynamic that we can invoke in that. The thing I want us to understand is that lots of times in a place of forgiveness, so in my real situation, let's pretend it was lying, Keith lying to me, but in my real situation, I had just, in the back of my head, not really overtly, begun to think of Keith as the liar. Now, I forgave him for all the lies. But in the back of my head, I just said, this guy's a liar. Okay? Really wasn't Keith, and it really wasn't lying, okay? But that's it. You get the idea, right? And so, I needed not to forgive Keith. I needed to repent. I needed to repent of my judgment that took me outside of the grace of God. Because in me doing my judgment, I cut off the grace that would flow to me. As soon as I recognized that I had judged, I repented. And there was huge freedom for me to be, you know, free towards that particular person. I actually haven't interacted with the person in a long time. But in my heart, there was a freedom. There was a freedom, and I was delighted at the newfound freedom in my own heart. Okay, so that's my testimony of the Lord teaching me something. Were you going to say something, Papa?
Well, just this, that when you defined Keith as a thief or a liar, you have stopped judging the action and judged the person. And that becomes very seriously a takeover of the bench, the judge of all men. You told him, slide over, I figured it out. Keith's a liar. Well, and that's serious.
And it's actually slightly more delicate than that. Okay, so I want us to really do fine surgery here. Okay, now, I have a question for you. I was deceived by whatever got said. Right? Did Keith mean to? Okay, yes or no, and who knows? And it's not my problem. Now, so whatever was, you know, the trajectory of that lie from here to here is not my problem. From here to here, in it comes, and it injured me. That's my problem. I have to decontaminate. But to go beyond right about here is a dangerous place, because then, I mean, even if I go right about to here, I'm pretty sure he meant to deceive me. I've just done what you just said, and that is to judge the man instead of the act, in a sense. Okay, now, my shin hurts, okay? I've got an injury, and I have to address the injury. But if I start to address the man in judgment, even by saying, I think he meant to do that, that gets me sliding right down that slippery slope into a place where he's a liar. And it's a dangerous place to create my own judgment seat and set it on top of God's head and speak over top of his judgment.
See, it's all about the heart of love.
Yeah.
It's if you intend to inflict back on him by judging him, or if you want to help him, that's when you bind that spirit, loose the right, you know, the opposite.
Let me get
so
to that.
So there's the discernment is true as well.
Let me get to there, because that's a second iteration of judgment, and it's an important one, okay? So, again, I say to you that it's important for us to judge that which comes into us and decontaminate instantly, as quickly as we can. And be careful not to step into a place of judgment on the basis of somebody's works into me, okay? Be careful there. Yeah.
You're going to end up in a cast for 6 weeks.
All right, no, agreed. And so I have to pay, that's true.
You have to pay, but you have to maintain yourself all the while that healing is happening, which even the cast itself is a reminder of.
Grab the mic.
That you can pick up again if you want to and judge the person.
Right.
That cast.
Well, you can judge the person, or you can even just judge, you know, you can just be out of your own hurt.
And that is.
There takes time. It does take time. And very often, you know, in my own experience, you know, Keith comes up to me and recommends another investment, okay? Well, now, I could, in my own mind, replay the last lie that got told to me. Did you see what I'm trying to say? Now, I have to almost, like, forgive again, or affirm and confirm the forgiveness so that I stay out of the place. See, because I'm predicting his behavior on the basis of his future or previous act, and I'm trying to not judge the man. I got to be careful. Okay, so what happens if Keith lies to me 490 times today and 490 times tomorrow? Shall I believe him? Shall I believe him?
No.
Why? Oh, wait a minute. Why? Because he lied all the time. Okay, are we judging him? Okay, we're discerning. Now here, we need to hear what God is saying. And those are two words for the same the same thing. Let me tell you, we have to live in a place of judgment. You have to judge things, okay? What are you going to do? You know, try the grass out, you know, clip a little bit of grass and chew on that just once a day to find out whether grass is good to eat or not? Are you going to let somebody take advantage of you just 490 times a day to find out whether they're going to do it again tomorrow? Okay, now, again, we have to live not by our judgment, but we do have to live in a place of judgment. Okay? And there is a safe place, and that is receiving what God is saying and live in that place. Now, again, I don't really expect that God is going to say to me, yep, Keith's a liar. Nope, don't ever listen to him again. That's probably, you know, your own offense still working at you. You better forgive and get yourself out of that place of judgment, okay? That's probably you judging, not God, okay? But God might say, son, don't take counsel from him. Okay, and then I can safely live in the covering of my God's judgment. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Now, I want to say be careful again. Because now, in the back of my, you know, in the front of my mind, I'm saying, well, I'm never going to listen to, you know, him tell me which stocks to pick from here on out. In the back of my mind, I'm saying, because he's a liar. Okay, do you see what I'm trying to say? Oops! Okay? Again, it's one of these things where judgment is both necessary and incredibly dangerous. Does that make sense to us all? And these are tools that we have in our hands and must use. We can't afford not to use them. But we must. I don't know where my mic is. Anybody know? But they are so delicate to be used properly. We have to be receiving and even receiving updates. Because you know what? Next Wednesday, he might make me go over to him and get a stinking, you know, idea on the next stock. He might send me to him. And if I am not in the place of saying, okay, God, then I'm in a place of judgment, my own, not his. Does that make sense to you? We have to be free before the Lord to hear and to walk in his judgments because they are good. Altogether, righteous, perfect, fine, beautiful, valuable, more to be desired than much fine gold. His judgments are wonderful, and we need to live in them, but not own them, not in the back of our mind figure out what God was actually saying, okay? Because if in the back of your mind you figure out what God was actually saying, you're in trouble, okay? Go ahead, you're up.
When you were talking about you make the decision that Keith is a liar. The thing that I keep hearing is God never created anybody to be a liar. God never created anybody to be a thief. He did not create those kinds of people. That's what the enemy did. It is not what God does.
The enemy has this purpose. Okay, so now, I know Estelle, you had a comment, or do you still, or are we good for now? Yes, you still have a comment. Because I want to get over to where Suzanne was just a few moments ago because it's an essential piece of the outworking of this. But go ahead.
You are supposed to know better now than to stand close enough to Keith to be kicked in the shin. You can still be there for Keith.
Yeah.
And wait for God's timing to say, you're safe.
Yeah, and God gives you that, and you don't have to judge. You can receive judgment. You can. The way I said it to myself today is not to sit in the seat of judgment, but to sit in receipt of judgment. And it's a very, the reason I wanted to say it so close is because you have to be really careful because are you sitting in the seat or sitting in receipt? Okay? And that's essential. Dad, you had a comment.
Just the question. Have you ever felt like you know more than God?
There's a question that maybe somebody asked us once before.
Asking us or putting before us is then choosing which judgment you want to be judged by.
Ooh, you're such a meanie.
Right, you are such a meanie. Oh my goodness. I think I just judged you.
There's judgment XYZ or there's judgment ABC. And we have to decide because it says judge the way you want to be judged.
You got it.
Do I want to be judged by XYZ or do I want to be judged by ABC?
And so I wanted to go there, and so I'm going to go there. Okay, so now,
if 490
times after getting a lie, I decide that he's a liar, I wonder to you, how many times do I have to be a glutton before I am judged gluttonous to be a glutton? Anybody know? I think maybe 490 times. If I can judge him in a way or in a process by which 490 times later, now thou surely art a liar, well then here I am, 490 gluttonous situations later, I'm a glutton. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's the way of judgment. I'm going to tell you, there's a better thing. Anybody want to throw themselves on the grace of God when it comes time for your final judgment? Anybody? Then throw them on the grace of God too and receive his judgment. It's essential. There's one judge, okay? And in the end, we can agree with whatever it is that he says. Can you see that? It's not like my agreement or disagreement is going to change it anyway for you, okay? So, I guess I'll agree with whatever God judges for you. Yeah, what a great guy I am. Amazing. I agree with God in his judgment over Al. Whatever. My agreement is meaningless, okay? Except in as much as I want the same grace that Al is going to get. And so that's how we access. Because he says in the same way, by receiving the grace of God, in that same way, that's the same way I want to be judged. And by the same measure, God, won't you erase Al's stupid junk and things that are useless? Would you just go poof on those and bless him on the basis of the things that he's done right? I want that judgment. That's what I want for Al. Is that okay? That's where we can live in receipt of judgment, not in the seat of judgment. And it's such a key thing. And I hope I've made clear to us the delicate nuance. We have a very complicated mind. Are you aware that you have a very complicated soul? Your emotions and your thoughts, it's a complicated thing. And thus, it's important to be very careful in bringing your soul to the Lord. Having it be cleansed. So there's a couple of things, and I never managed to do this in order. never. It is half your fault, okay? So don't blame me. Yeah, don't judge me. Don't judge me, exactly. Yeah. All right. But when an incoming offense happens, you decontaminate via forgiveness. But when you judge, you need to decontaminate by recognizing there's arrogance, by recognizing there's disunity with God. Because like Jocelyn just told us, God's not sitting around trying to beat up people. He did not create liars or gluttons or whatever the other things are that we're talking about. He didn't do that. He wanted perfection for each one of those people. That's what he wanted. There's disunity with God, and there's displacement of God. And all of those things are very essential to move in repentance out of. Arrogance, pride against God, disunity with God and displacement of God is really the effective approach of what judgment is about, okay? And so then, let me say, when we can release forgiveness, when we can stay out of a place of judgment, we out of the seat and into receipt of judgment, then we have the place where we can do cleanly, we can do an intercessory situation, okay? So now I can say, okay, yeah, I've forgiven 490 incoming injuries, okay? And I say, God, you know, for may your grace abound in judgment over him. Now I'm in the place to actually implement some of the grace of God in judgment toward the same offender, the same situation, same person that's in front of me. I'm now properly located so I can.
This is a wild thing, and I offer this to everybody, and you've probably done it. But if you haven't, it's pretty exciting. This is a testimony. So once upon a time, a friend and I had a situation that wasn't going well. And as George said, you had to judge the situation, and it was something, arrows coming at me. So I forgave the person. They went on their merry way. And I said, I don't want that charge to their account. And I'm going to stand in the gap by proxy right now. And Lord, I repent for us. You know, I just, it was an us thing. I'm for that person, for me. You know, have I never done that before? Of
Come
course,
on.
You know.
Yeah.
And just did this whole thing and brought it before the Lord and repented of it. And just like the Lord did for us. Well, that individual had gone off to whatever to have some food someplace and eat. And a piece of bread got caught in the throat. And they later on told the story that they thought they were going to die.
Yeah.
And at that very time was when I was repenting on behalf of that person.
Thank you, God.
Standing in the gap.
Yeah.
And saying, I don't want it charged to their account.
Right.
That's a forgiveness. And then standing in proxy and doing the work that you were talking about in intercession.
When
it's
you,
real.
When you're in receipt.
Pray to God.
When you're in receipt of judgment. When you receive God's ways and perspectives and heart with respect to the matter, whatever it is. Then you have not just his judgments, but all of his power and all of his desires and his life to give in those situations.
Just notice that it's when you're standing in receipt. This is not a rule book definition of how to live, other than we need to be in receipt of on a constant and continual basis. In other words, the rule book is not just forgive and don't ever judge. That's the rule book. The call is be so related to the one who is the judge that we operate as he would operate in that situation in terms of forgiveness and in terms of how we judge the person.
In terms of the release
of God's judgment, I'm going to tell you something. Every single one of us has arenas of authority into which we have been placed. And it is essential for us to be executors of the judgments of God. Okay? Now that sounds like you're being mean. Is God being mean? You're being executors of God's judgment, releasing of the power and authority of God into situations. Now, that doesn't always mean that you're very nice. It can mean that you're nice, and it can mean that you're not very nice, because sometimes Jesus let the guy go away sorrowfully. Sometimes Jesus said foxes have holes. Sometimes Jesus said various things. The question is, where are you seated or reseated? And that's essential. I'm going to just show you something that to me was very interesting in terms of the delicacy of judgment. Again, I'm going to quote to you what Jesus said, John chapter 8. He says, you judge according to the flesh. Remember, I can't judge this man by what, by the incoming somethings. Can't do it. Can't do it. He says, you judge according to the flesh. This is Jesus talking, okay? I do not judge anything, anyone, but even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone in it, but I am the Father who sent me. Okay, so he's saying, I have received something. Father and I are together. Here's another scripture. You ready? John chapter 5, verse 22. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. Do you see, in the Godhead, they're careful who's got what? Did you see that? Inside of this incredible unity of the Godhead, there's deferment with respect to judgment. Do you see it? Why? Because judgment's such a delicate and powerful and needful thing. I got you. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment. There's such importance in the delicate handling of judgment that even in the Godhead, they defer to the right one at the right time. There's unity. They never come out of unity. That was clear from the previous scripture. But they defer as appropriate. Will you walk in receipt of judgment even as the Godhead walks in such delicate and careful that they actually defer to one another in the Godhead? There's only one God, okay? Amazing. We must operate in judgment. But we better not be the judges. We better operate in the receipt of judgment as we walk before God, as we hear him, as we humbly come into unity with his whole heart with respect to the circumstance, as we humbly live and operate in receipt of his judgment. I told you that this was about eternal judgment, and it is. And I told you that it's the interconnection between temporal judgment, the judgment here and now, and eternal judgment, that which is forever. And they are essentially intertwined, and it is incumbent upon you and I. We are the sons and daughters of God. We're the representatives of him in this place to operate and live in receipt of his glorious, gracious, powerful, righteous, perfect judgment. And nowhere else. Amen? Father, cause us to have hearts that are open to you. Cause us to have ears and minds that flow with what you are saying and doing. Cause us, God, to know you, to access your judgments, to live in the context of your grace, your mercy, your judgment, your truth, and your life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace to you all and many blessings.